Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host, and I always love saying this part. It is my privilege and my pleasure to be back amongst my listening audience as your radio Bible teacher for this few moments that we have together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us go and approach the throne of grace. Our Father and our God, we thank you once again for making this time available to us that we can come together for the study of your word. We pray now, O Master, that your Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct our hearts. We want to edify and glorify your name. Conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, is our prayer. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, for those of you tuning in, for the first time, we're in a study of the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 9. For those of you who have been listening all along, we're going to pick it up this week in verse 36 of the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Let me read some verses, and then we'll get into our discussion for this time together. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Now, what is going on here? We have a faithful believer, a lady by the name of Dorcas. In fact, the Bible gives her two names. The first name is Tabitha, which is her Jewish or Hebrew name. And the name Dorcas really is the translation of the Greek. And her name means gazelle. And you know, a gazelle or doe or deer, it has slender features, it's grace, and it has loveliness about it, bright eyes and tender looks. So this woman, Dorcas, was powerful in the fact that she did alms deeds. In other words, she watched out for others. The emphasis is that she gave gifts to others. She benefited others by what God had gifted her with. Amen? So we see that she had tragically died, and the idea is that she died right in the midst of a ministry when she was so needed, because as we read, the believers that were surrounding her were crushed. Let's read a little further, verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So now they are devastated. This woman that they counted on so much, this woman that was a friend, possibly a prayer partner, this woman of great faith, now lay dead. And it was a desperate appeal that was stirred to. They heard about Peter, and Peter had healed a lame man, and Peter had healed Aeneas, and caused him to walk. So they were in Lydda, close to Joppa, so they sent to Joppa for Peter. They said, if anybody can help in this situation, this mighty man of God can do it. And so Peter, now hearing their request, decides to come and see the situation for himself. Verse 40. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, this is amazing to me because, again, this woman was dead. But because of the prayer of Peter, this woman had her life returned to her. Not because of who Peter was, but because of who Jesus is. And we have to remember that because it's one of my sore points that many times when people claim to have the gift of healing, they always try to portray themselves as the one being powerful. But Peter was just a vessel, a willing servant to be used of God. Dorcas was risen because it was the will of God. If it was not the will of God, then Peter would have never gave her the command to arise, because it's just like Jesus did with Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave. Peter said, arise. And Tabitha arose. So we got to understand that it was according to the will of God that she got up from her deathbed. And it was not Peter was being such a powerful prayer. It was because of the fact that Peter's prayer was according to the will of God. And that tells so much about us. We should have our prayer focused on the will of God. But if we would truly be honest with ourselves, many times our prayers are really self-centered. It's what we think ought to be done. It's the outcome that I'm looking for. It's the outcome that you're looking for. It ought to be the outcome that we believe that God is looking for. So many times God does bring blessings about and does some miraculous healings. And other times there are some people who are strong in the faith, but yet they don't have their physical infirmities removed. They have to walk through the rest of their life with these infirmities, or sometimes God calls them home. So we just have to count and depend on God no matter what the situation is, and always seek His will. And if it is His will, then the life or the healing will be done. Let us move on. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, again, we find that this is in the early stages of the church, in the birth of the church, and God is doing some mighty works through his men of God, the apostles, to validate that the church is his will. And as we go a little further in this book, we will begin to understand the purpose of why God has done this. Because right now, the church, let me just say it this way, the church is predominantly Jewish at this point. And God has got a mighty plan of work coming in the very near future. So he is setting these men up to be able to validate the work that they're doing comes from God. Because remember, even when Jesus did miracles and the Pharisees wanted to deny him as the Messiah, they said, we cannot deny the mighty works that he has done. So once again, we see that Peter now has risen somebody from the dead, and that could not be denied. So many in that area believed in the Lord. Verse 43. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. So we can see that Peter now has stayed around for a while, that he might become a blessing. And even though the Bible doesn't fill in all the gaps for us, I cannot imagine that Peter was not there teaching and preaching the goodness of God through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's move on to chapter 10, and we're going to pick it up in verse 1. And we're going to find again a mighty move of God. And like I was saying just a moment ago, what it means when God is about to remold and shape his church into the style and the being that it is today. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, about the ninth hour of the day, and the angel of God came in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. So let's look at a few things in these opening verses. First of all, Cornelius is not a Jew. He is a Gentile, okay? And we find now that God is beginning to open the door of his church, and he's going to eradicate the prejudice that has been held. And there's kind of two basic reasons why people are prejudiced. First of all, people differ. They differ from nationality, colors, belief, religion, speech, looks, behavior, so on and so forth. And the mistreatment causes prejudice by mistreating others and being mistreated. When a person mistreats others or is mistreated by others, his nature is immediately aroused to become prejudicial or judgmental. And Lord knows we have some judgmental folks sitting sometimes in our church houses. Amen? Amen. But we see the hand of God moving now, and he's about to build his church by blending the Gentiles with the Jews. Now, the Jews are standing by because this is going to be a shock to their systems, if you will. Let's read a little further. Verse 5 says, "And now send men to Joppa and call for the one Simon, whose surname is Peter." So when we go back to the last verse, verse 43 in chapter 9, we can understand why the Lord had him tarry many days, because the Lord knew that he was about to bless Cornelius through Peter. If Peter had moved on, it's not that God could not have brought him back, but God had him right where he wanted Peter to be. So when Cornelius was given his vision by God, he understood that he could call for Peter. Amen. That's just a divine appointment. "And when the angel spake to Cornelius, he was departed. He called two of his servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually." So now this man Cornelius is calling for his inner sanctum, if you will, those devout servants and a devout soldier who served him. "And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance." So now Peter wants something to eat. He is up on the roof in the ninth hour, or the sixth hour, I should say, in time of prayer. And he becomes hungry, and while the servants are beginning to prepare a meal, he falls into a trance. And he says, verse 11, "And saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air." Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to have to kind of hold it up right there, because the clock on the wall says our time is about to wind down for this segment of the program. But I would ask that you would just keep following and reading ahead on these verses. And when we come together at this time in this hour, that you will be well versed in what we're about to see. Visit us on our website, www.smbcmesa.org. Come worship with us on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. for our worship service. May the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer. Please tune in again next week. Take care and God bless.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. It's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.